Welcome to Back to Health with Dr. Cale Copeland. He has been a chiropractic provider to the Victoria Grizzlies Junior A Hockey Club for 9 seasons and involved in healthcare for over 2 decades. Get ready to be inspired to greater vitality, performance, energy, and health as he interviews experts every 2 weeks. Now here's Dr. Cale.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Cale Copeland and I'm your host for Back to Health. Thanks for being here. This is episode number 17 and today I'm really looking forward to speaking with performance expert Matt Nickel. He works with some amazing people and athletes and we're going to talk about how they got there and what you and I can glean from them and incorporate into our lives. Now before he joins us, if you have any questions or you require assistance, you can reach us here at Victoria Family Chiropractic anytime at 250-592-5553. Or online at vfchiro.com. So here's a little about Matt. Matt Nickel received his Bachelor of Education degree in Kinesiology and History from McGill and his Master's in Kines and Master's in Coaching Theory from York University. He's a veteran strength and conditioning coach with over 20 years of field experience. He's worked with teams in the NHL, NFL, CFL, KHL, and privately with athletes from virtually every professional and Olympic sport imaginable. He's also the creator of BioSteel Sports, Inc. For more information about Matt and what he does, please visit his website at mattnickel.com or on Twitter at @m_nickel or Instagram at @matt_nickel. So Matt, hey, thanks for being here and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah, great. So listen, excited to have you here. So I guess I got a couple questions for you. I know you work with some big name athletes, and I think one that comes to mind for me anyway, because I'm a big hockey fan, is Connor McDavid. You know, anyone that's listening that maybe isn't familiar with him, he's an NHL player, and I think few people would argue with me if I said he was the best in the world. So my question, Matt, is, you know, how did you get involved with people like him and with world-class athletics?
Well, first I'll say, so Connor's a client of a very good friend of mine, Gary Roberts. He's not a client of mine. He does come in, he's actually here at the gym this morning, and he's been here all week. And if he's downtown Toronto, he'll train with our crew here because he's got some friends here. But he lives a little bit north of the city, and he'll train with Gary the majority of the time there. And Gary does a fantastic job with him. So I'm lucky enough to get to hang around when he's here in the gym with us. But I would take zero credit for anything he's ever accomplished. That's for sure. But you know, we do have lots of these other guys, and I think that it's, you know, I've been doing what I do for a long time in Toronto, which is, you know, kind of an epicenter for hockey in this country at least. So I think if you're, you know, if you train hockey players and you're halfway decent at what you do and you work hard at it and you live in Toronto, you're bound to have a few clients come your way. So I don't think there's too much more to it than that.
Okay. And is hockey like a passion of yours or?
Yeah, it is. It's become one. So I didn't play. I played a lot of road hockey and very, very poor quality ice hockey recreationally, but never played any competitive hockey. I football and basketball were the two sports that were nearest and dearest to my heart. And then you know when I went on to university, I competed in football and track and field. But yeah, never hockey. So, but has doing this as a business for 20 years and working primarily with hockey players, it's become a passion of mine, and I've become a hockey fan of this sport, not of any individual team, just of the sport.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I definitely want to get into a little bit more of that in the future, so later on in the call here. So next question I had is about BioSteel. It's something I use, and I don't know if our listeners are familiar with it, but I was kind of hoping you were going to tell us a little bit about it and kind of the inspiration behind it, because you're the developer, the creator, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So yeah, so I began working with the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2002, and I had some experience prior to that. I worked for a gentleman by the name of Dr. Moro Di Pasquale, who is probably one of the most intelligent human beings I've ever met, and also he was a very accomplished athlete in his own right. He was number one in the world in powerlifting. He was also generally regarded as the or one of the world's foremost experts on supplements and ergogenic aids in sports. And so I'd learned a lot from him and a lot from, you know, just my own various study. And when I took the job with the Toronto Maple Leafs, they gave me the position of strength and conditioning coach and team nutritionist, which I think just was by default a way to kind of kill two jobs with one paycheck.
Right.
But I was the guy who was responsible for administering and doling out all the different supplements the guys were using at that time.
Right.
And at that time, so in 2002, there was no drug testing in the NHL, so guys could take and often did take anything under the sun, whatever they liked. And you know, we were, you know, different athletes had different protocols of things that they would bring in to give to me that in turn I was to give to them at, you know, during the game. There was other guys that would turn to me for advice on what they should or shouldn't use. And I slowly started to realize that, you know, I kind of bore a good deal of responsibility, at least if not liability, handing all this stuff out and to these guys. And right. I kind of felt I had a responsibility to make sure that I was providing them with the best quality, safest, healthiest products. And while this was all sort of going on in the background, I had a few conversations. One of them was a good friend of mine who was working at the NHL league office, who let me know that there's a labor stoppage coming up right around the corner. Whether it was going to be a strike or a lockout, they weren't certain at that time. But he said one of the items that's on the table is drug testing, and that's pretty much a non-negotiable. Like, both sides have kind of already, you know, it's kind of already known that that's something that's going to happen. You know, the players' union is, you know, is going to let that go, and then the league definitely wants to pass that. And if you'll remember, at that time, there was all the problems they're having in Major League Baseball with. Yeah. Guys using performance-enhancing drugs, so the NHL decided we're going to get ahead of this and institute this policy. So when he let me know that, I started to think even more about it, and I thought, okay, well, now it's pretty clear that I bear you know, very significant liability if I'm the guy who's handing this stuff out. So I thought,
right,
what I need to do is I need to go around, and literally there were, you know, probably closer to hundreds than dozens of different products that we were using as a team, and contact all of those companies. And what I thought it would be a pretty simple exercise and just say, hey, look, I need some sort of written documentation that shows that all these products have been tested and they're, you know, they're free of any banned substance. And not a single one of those companies was able to provide me with anything. And that was sort of the, you know, the aha moment, or that, you know, the little light bulb that went off in my head. And I thought, okay, this is a major problem for me personally, but if none of these companies can give me any sort of documentation to prove that they're safe, and they all told me that, you know, they've been in business for X number of years and never had a problem, or, you know, it's made in a CGMP facility, or, you know, any other, you know, lovely story about how clean and pure and what have you, but none of them could actually provide me with any sort of certification that it was definitely going to be safe for my guys to use. So I thought, okay, this is a pretty big hole in the industry, and it's also a need directly for my team. So when I started this, I really didn't have a master plan of, you know, we weren't trying to take over the world and sell, you know, the product to everybody and their brother. But it, originally, for the first 3 years, it was only for use by the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I went and created these products that were in use just for my team and my guys. We had them, you know, I was able to procure the raw materials. We had them third-party tested, and it was all safe and sound and signed off on. And then, you know, like, I guess any good idea, after a while it sort of grows organically, and we would have players that would, you know, get traded or sign elsewhere and ask if I could send them some of that stuff they were using. And then the Toronto Raptors, a few of their players started to use it. A couple of them were having some issues with nutrition that they asked me to consult on, and in working with them, I suggested they try it. It worked for them, so it just sort of spread organically like that. And then if you flash forward to 2009, when I left the Toronto Maple Leafs and started my own little private business, it really took off.
Wow.
I guess I didn't really understand how popular or effective it might be, but I started giving it out to my private clients again, who when the Toronto Maple Leafs were using it, it was, they didn't, you know, the players didn't pay for it. It was given to them. They didn't have to make it up for themselves. It was handed to them, and they really didn't have any options. So I wasn't exactly sure how popular it was, or if it was just easy and convenient, you know. And I think when I started my own private business and we had guys asking for, you know, can I get some to hold me through the whole season, I realized there's something here. And it was actually Mike Camilleri, who was an NHL player, was the first guy to say that, you know, this is something, I need this, I need more of this product, I need a year's supply. And I told him, okay, well, I don't have a year's supply. I have, you know, what's left on that shelf, and I'll make some more in time for next summer. And he said, well, I have to have it now. I've become kind of reliant on this product. I noticed the difference. And he said, what if I, you know, if I prepay for a year's worth right now? And I said, well, that's, you know, it's not enough. You need to handle a bigger volume than that. And he said, what if I ordered for my entire team with the Montreal Canadiens? Would that be enough? And I said, even that, I'm not sure. And then he suggested we sort of sit down, and he had a friend, John Salenza, who was very interested in trying to get into sports marketing, and there was a lot of synergies there. So we just figured out a way that, you know, if John and I were able to, you know, if I could, you know, design these products, and I had the connections in pro sports in that world, and John had a passion for marketing, that we could, you know, combine our strengths and kind of just went from there.
Yeah, because, I mean, geez, it's a big product now, and it's, you know, for our listeners, I guess, correct me, it's essentially like a, you know, it helps you retain water. It's like you add it to water, you shake it up. It's sort of like Gatorade, but it's way healthier. There's no sugar, there's no caffeine, I don't think, and there's a bunch of minerals in it and amino acids, and it's great. It tastes great, too. And it's
yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's what a great little story. That's awesome, and I encourage anyone that's, you know, interested in hydrating and in sports and stuff to look into BioSteel. So let's switch speeds a bit. You know, I follow you on Twitter, and I love your posts. And, you know, obviously, I want to get in some more nuts and bolts of, like, what you're doing with guys, but a lot of your content on Twitter, I feel, pertains to kind of sometimes attitude or even maybe philosophy. And I just want, you know, it seems like you feel that's an important component of success in life. Is that something, like, would you agree with that?
Well, I absolutely would. I think, I don't know, you know, whatever you, I don't know what you call that. If that's, you know, your life philosophy, if that's your mindset, your attitude, I'm not sure what the, I don't know what the right catchphrase is, but yeah. I would absolutely agree.
Okay. I mean, I was hoping you could expand on that a little bit. I mean, like, you know, here I am talking to a guy that's, you know, you work with guys physically, right? But, you know, to our listeners out there, and most of my listeners are, I doubt, are professional athletes. I'm sure there may be some, but, you know, like, how does our attitude or the way we look at the world affect our success levels, and how does it affect our performance?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do, my job title denotes that I work with athletes physically in a gym environment, but, you know, I think the part that I enjoy about my job the most is the fact that it extends way beyond that. And, you know, it is in dealing with everything that you just, you know, alluded to. It's the real joy that I derive from my job is the ability to get to know these athletes, to engage with them, to find out, you know, what are the areas that of weakness for them, that maybe, you know, there might be an underlying fear or an insecurity or you know, lack of confidence in an issue or some other, you know, sort of block or hindrance, you know, to their mindset that's affecting them and affecting their physical performance. And how can we fix that? And that's the stuff to me that's really impactful. It's the stuff that I enjoy the most. It's the stuff that's makes the biggest difference in their lives. And a lot of that stuff is happening in between sets of an exercise or before and after a workout in a casual conversation, or, you know, an event that happens in the middle of a workout reveals something, or there's an experience that shed light, that, you know, would shed some light on something that they may want to, it might open the door for a conversation, and you can dive into those deeper areas. So I'm certainly not I'm not a sports psychologist or a, you know, there's a million, I've met a million guys now that all have a different, they're mental strength coaches and performance coaches and resiliency coaches and whatever other kind of coaches. So I'm a coach. I don't know. I just coach these guys the best way I can, the best way I know how. We've got a great staff of people here that do different things. Some are, you know, have strengths in Olympic lifting. Some are strong in, you know, in therapy. Some are strong with regards to breath work, and everyone's got their own little specialty. But the part, again, that I enjoy the most is exactly what you said. It's dealing with these guys and helping them sort of, you know, find their strengths or eliminate some of those blockages or the, you know, the hurdles that are in front of them that stem a lot of times from, a mental, I don't know what the right term is. I don't want to say a mental issue, but it's whether it's an emotional issue or a, a past event that sort of left this guy with some sort of, fear or insecurity or, apprehension about something. If you can help them get past that, it's really, it's game changing for them. And it's very rewarding for me as well.
Yeah, no, it's amazing stuff. I mean, no, I get that you're not a sports psychologist and I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable situation. And of course every situation is different, but are there any tools that you sometimes say, hey, have you ever tried this? Like, do you ever talk about that with your clients, or is it more of like when you're just listening to them and sort of, or do you offer any sort of tidbits of advice?
No, of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't have a plan or a program for that. I think it comes down to, having some empathy, having a little bit of wisdom, which has come from a bunch of years of trial and error and doing a lot of things wrong myself personally and with others as a coach and seeing sometimes what doesn't work and now drawing on those experiences to share and seeing if there's an analogy that maybe you could draw upon or on a past experience.
Yeah,
that to me is, there's no, I don't have a 6-step program or, a 3-level system or anything like that.
Just the empathy, like just being able to connect with someone and, you've been around for a while. And so you've kind of been through some things and made some mistakes like we all have. But I think it's nice to kind of hear sometimes just that, hey, it's reassuring and that someone's, maybe listening to you and cares about you and, wants you to do better. And I think it's nice to have that, I'm sure that your clients, I feel that from you. That's great. I guess now we're going to get kind of into more of like kind of your expertise and, I know a lot of different athletes, I think, seek you out. We're talking professionals, we're talking Olympic athletes. I think it sounds like hockey players is your thing. There's so many, ways of exercising. I guess what are some of the things that you're talking about with athletes or that you're recommending that they do to either improve their performance or even maintain it, maybe to someone who's older and wants to sort of keep at a high level?
That's a really tough question to answer, in a blanket statement. I think when you talk about what am I talking about with my athletes, I've got a I just walked in off my gym floor to talk to you today, and I've got a 5'8" elite professional athlete who's in there finishing his workout as a 7'2" 15-year-old basketball player walked through the door. So, there's a pretty wide range of types of athletes in here. There's a very wide range of personalities. There's a very wide range of cultural and socioeconomic backgrounds it's a real potpourri of human beings that are coming through here. So it's really tough to say that I have a system of exercise or a specific message for people in general. I would say that if I had to try to condense it down into something that would make sense for an answer like that, it would be that, we try to focus on health before performance. I believe that optimal performance will stem from optimizing health, and I feel that if you're not optimizing health and if health is compromised, then optimal performance can only continue for so long before it's going to be compromised. So, at the end of the day, that concept of do no harm, we want to start by making sure that anyone who comes in here as a client, I want them to be a better human, a healthier human when they leave than when they got here. Mm-hmm. That should be sort of step one. And the staff that I have here do a fantastic job of that. They all acknowledge that and they all strive for that in their own different way. We try to make sure that these guys understand the concepts around healthy nutrition, which is not any specific diet philosophy or specific style of eating or not eating certain things. It's more of a concept of understanding where food comes from and how it grows and what are healthy forms of food and which aren't. That's important for us here. And then I'm a teacher. I come from a family of teachers. I have a bachelor of education in addition to the other degrees that you mentioned already. And it's very important for me that we're teaching these clients that are here. So I want to make sure that all of my clients want to come and train here, but hopefully, you know, after they've spent some time here, they don't need to come and train here, that we've taught them enough, that we've given them tools that they can go back to their teams and continue on with this stuff. I would hope that it's my goal, or, you know, maybe, you know, depending, I don't know how realistic it is, maybe it's a dream, but it's certainly my hope that these guys will go back to their teams and be role models for the other guys on the team, that they'll inspire other players on their team by the way that they take care of themselves, by the way that they conduct themselves, by the way that they train, by the way that they eat. That's the hope that I have for my business here. And, you know, I think we do a good job of it. We're certainly not perfect and we want to be better, but that's sort of the idea.
That is awesome. And I think the thing that you said earlier, a moment ago, was, that you're trying to teach health, because I think you're right. Like, it's in health's a big deal, right? And it's not just a physical concept. It's a combination of balance, I think, from a whole bunch of stuff. But I think you're right though, that when you're healthy, you're going to naturally, performance is just kind of a side effect of that. And you're right. And you can sort of, cheat a little bit and maybe get performance for a while, but it's going to come at a cost. And so, yeah, I love what you said there. And I think, that's huge. That's huge. And it sounds like you have a really holistic kind of approach there.
We try to.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great. It's great stuff. Next question is, hey, I've got a son. He plays hockey. He's a pretty good hockey player. But what are your thoughts on, and I hear this a lot because I see a lot of athletes in my practice too, but, you know, I'm talking to an expert here, especially younger kind of teenagers. And there's a lot of different information about, you know, the way that you should exercise. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree that people need to exercise, but definitely, what are your thoughts on kind of weight training, resistance training, and even training in people that haven't reached skeletal maturity yet, or they're not physically mature yet?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes down to, I don't train kids of that age for a few reasons. Number one, I don't feel that I'm an expert in that space.
Okay.
Number two, the facility that I work out of isn't really conducive to the types of things that I think those kids would benefit from the most. And number three, I just think that I don't think there's any danger in kids of any age learning how to lift weights. And if you told me you had a 5-year-old son and his goal, not yours, but his goal was to be, an Olympic medalist in Olympic style weightlifting, or powerlifting, which I'm not sure any 5-year-old would choose to do. But if that happened, then you know what? Absolutely, there's no danger in him getting in the gym and learning how to lift properly with properly scaled weighted implements, whether a wooden barbell or whatever the case may be. But so there's no issue around the danger or the safety. To me, the issue is that, is it the best use of their time? Is it the best return on your investment? And I feel, you know, for most kids, and again, it's not, I believe that it's really about their biological age, not their, chronological age. So I've seen some 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids come through my gym that look like 18-year-olds, and I've seen some 18-year-olds that look like 15-year-olds. So
yeah.
I don't think there's a hard and fast rule with regards to a number, but I think that the issue for me is that I think kids in those pre-pubescent years, there's so many other things that they could be doing, so many skills and qualities that are actually optimally developed at that time, that you kind of lose out on later. So all those sorts of things, you work on those then. So working on their balance and their coordination, their dexterity, especially if you can do it in a manner that's fun and interesting for them, that would be much, much better than, having them spend an hour in the gym with barbells and dumbbells.
Yeah, well, that's great.
In my opinion, and again, that has nothing to do with danger. And if I knew for a fact that there was a kid who actually genuinely loved to do that stuff, not because they were being pushed or driven by a parent, but because just intrinsically they enjoyed lifting barbells, well then, hey, absolutely go for it. But I just think there's a lot of other things they could be doing: playing sports, playing games, unstructured, play. Just play, random, unstructured, unorganized play, if that is possible or available to them. That's the stuff I think that's the magic at that age.
Totally. I think us adults could use that too. Yeah. You know, listen, you know, obviously you seem like you're really humble, Matt, and you made BioSteel just sound like it fell into your lap, and maybe it did. I mean, but you've also, it sounds like you've also been successful too in your career. And I know you were just saying, you know, you're in Toronto, it's a sports hub, but like, you know, I know this is going to be a hard question for you to answer. Do you have anything that you feel is attributed to your level of success in business and in career, in your career, or factors that have influenced that?
I appreciate, well, maybe that, maybe what you just said, and I appreciate you. I mean, you know, I try to be humble, but it's not always, it's not in the context that some people might think. It's that I've been very fortunate to have been around some pretty great people very early on in my career. You know, I spent time with Paul Cech, you know, starting 20 years ago. You know, I worked for Dr. Mauro DiPasquale 20 years ago. I was, you know, some of the first experiences I had in this business were with some of the greatest men and women to ever work in this business. So I think that humility stems from that experience of me seeing that's the level that I kind of accepted as normal because it was the level that I started at.
Wow.
So I don't feel in a lot of regards that, you know, I'm on a plane with those people yet, nor have I surpassed them. So I certainly feel, I feel a little awkward about getting up on top of my soapbox when there's all these predecessors that have come before me that were so successful and taught me so much. So I try to be, you know, I hope that I can be helpful. I hope I can share doing a podcast like this is something hopefully that someone listening gets some benefit out of. But I think that, that humility is, it comes from real experience and having been around. You know, I was joking with one of my staff members today, and it's like I've stood beside the podium at the Olympics and watched Olympic style weightlifting. So I kind of feel a little awkward about posting a video of me power cleaning 260 pounds this morning because that was pretty good for me. I'm an old fat guy, but you know when you've seen it done at that level, it seems a little irrelevant, you know. When I've been around, you know, real, true, world class pioneers in this business, you know, the Mauro DiPasquales and Ken Atkins and Eric Serrano's and Paul Cech and Ian King and Ken Kanak and
he's a Mike Priebeck,
Mark Lindsay,
you
go on and on and on about all these great guys. It's a little tough for me then to not be humble. You know, you kind of puts you in your place right away.
Well, you know, the one thing I got from that, I think, is that, you know, call it luck, call it, you know, whatever, call it grace. But obviously you've had some amazing giants that you've been able to sort of observe. And, you know, I say giants, I mean metaphorically, like these amazing people that you've been able to look up to that have been there. And so I think probably for anyone too, you can't do anything by yourself. And, you know, anyone that's achieved any level of success has been fortunate enough to have amazing people around them. And sounds like you have for sure. So, hey, listen, we have time for one last question. And I just wanted to hear any last thoughts you maybe had on health or chiropractic.
Yeah, well, I would say this. And I'm not. I am not just saying this because you happen to be a chiropractor, and anyone who has ever been to my business can attest to this. Every single one of my clients sees a chiropractor. They must, otherwise, I won't work with them. And I think that, you know, sometimes as you can, I'm sure you know this much better than I do. You may get a little initial pushback because people are nervous about getting whacked and cracked, and when they explain the chiropractor, you know, I've got some. Some of my clients have seen one of my chiropractors for an entire NHL offseason and never been adjusted. They've received acupuncture and soft tissue work, and I have another chiropractor who's, you know, all he does is adjusting, and he's, you know, Marvin Shedletsky, and I think, you know, he's probably the best in the world. He's an unbelievable adjuster, but just specializes in that, and if you need soft tissue work, he passes you off to, you know, the next table down where you've got someone who's fantastic at that. So I think that... you know, I every single one of my clients sees a chiropractor. I've seen a chiropractor off and on since I've probably been 14 years old, and it's sort of I really believe in preventative care, preventative maintenance, and I'm not sure where I would be today without the chiropractors that I've met in my life, who've either, you know, a guy like Mark Scappaticci who put me back in one piece and repaired me when every other physiotherapist told me that I was no longer going to be able to play football. I needed surgery, and I marked an active release on me in 1996, believe it or not. And, you know, and if I flash that forward to all the chiropractors who've taught me so much about not just what they do, but what I do, they've taught me, they've made me a better strength and conditioning coach. So I wouldn't be where I am today without the chiropractic profession, that's for sure.
Well, hey, thanks. Oh, man, thanks for the shout-out. I mean, to our listeners, I had no idea that's great stuff. I mean, just no question.
To your listeners, that was not a staged question. I can assure you that. You know, that had nothing to do with our talk today. I just wanted to say that I really, truly believe in that. And
that's,
you know,
great.
I feel very strongly about it.
I do too. I mean, chiropractic's changed my life, and I feel so blessed to be a chiropractor. But I guess just one quick thing here, because we're running out of time. Just out of curiosity, why do you make it mandatory for your clients to see a chiropractor? And your clients, just so people know, you're talking about NHL players, NFL, NBA. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we've got more professional athletes that come through our doors here than anywhere else in Canada, and because I know that my results are going to be better if they do that. You know, and the chiropractors that I work with, we have a good relationship. We understand each other. We speak the same language. They understand that I've got to get some things done in the gym, which means sometimes, you know, you're always walking a fine line. You know, if everyone just rests and does nothing, they'll feel better, but they won't be able to perform. So they understand that concept. And I understand what it is that they do. And I know that they're going to do a great job, and they're going to return those guys back to me better than they got them.
That's amazing. You know, it's funny. I didn't want to ask you this question because we're almost out of time. But, you know, in the olden days, I think that after someone got adjusted, the thought was, okay, go lay down and rest. And yet, you know, with my patients, I'm always saying, hey, if you've got, you know, an event coming up, an athletic event, get adjusted right before it. I mean, would you concur with that? I mean, you're the guy that's on the other side of it. Do you feel that after an adjustment, it's better for someone to train or work out or exercise?
I don't think there's a rule. I mean, it depends. I defer always to those chiros that I work with, and I respect their decision. If they tell me, because they don't tell me to rest someone unless he must rest. So when they tell me he's got to rest, I respect that. But 9 times out of 10, this is the reason I work with those specific people, is they tell me, okay, no, you don't rest. Get your butt in the gym. Get moving. Like, now that we've aligned everything, you got to re-educate your body and teach it how to use this new position again.
100%. Wow. Listen, hey, Matt, I honestly really appreciate you taking the time, because I know you're busy. I mean, I was talking to your assistant and you were away last week. I don't know where you're going next week, but I imagine it's somewhere with athletes. So really appreciate you allowing me to, you know, pick your brain.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Yep. So to anyone out there, we're out of time. Hope you got as much out of this as I did. To everyone out there, to Matt, thank you. For all our listeners, stay tuned for our next Back to Health episode.
Thanks for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For more information about Dr. Kale, visit his website, vfchiro.com, where you can read his blog and hit links to his YouTube channel and Facebook page for videos and more. Book an appointment with Dr. Kale today at Victoria Family Chiropractic by calling 250-592-5553 and get started on a path to being your best.